Listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is WGN Radio. John Williams here on a gray day downtown Chicago. A little lousy, slushy, snow, rain, sleet mix we had, but we told you that's what it was going to be, and we'll wait for the weather to clear. The markets aren't bad today, and the news about a stimulus check of $2,000 is not so good. We visited with News Nation's Joe Khalil a little bit ago, reporting from Washington, D.C., the correspondent there. And a regular correspondent on this topic, of course, has been Terry Savage, the nationally syndicated columnist, who I think is on line 7. Is that Terry on line 7? Hi, Terry. Welcome back to the show. How are you today?
I'm waiting on line 7. Sorry, I'm not right in there.
I wish you were in the studio, but I know you're not today, and nor is $2,000 in anybody's bank account today. That's not going to happen.
No, huh? But $600 is in a lot of people's bank accounts today. So if you put direct deposit info in there for your tax return or last stimulus check, just check your online bank balance because you could already have $600.
Oh, is that how that happens? If you did online distribution in the past tax return, that it's automatically happening now?
If the IRS has your information for direct deposit, either for past refund, or many people use the tool that was available for the last stimulus to file direct deposit information, it's not up there now, you can't do it now, then your money will already it's going out now. It went out last night. Early this morning, I got a forwarded email from my contact at the IRS, who I'm always bugging with questions. He said, I know you saw this early this morning, but money went out last night. So they're very proud of that.
I was.
And by the way.
Go ahead.
I know you're going to say, but what if it goes to 2,000, which, by the way, in Congress today, it looks like that won't happen because, although the president said that he wanted it to be 2,000, the Democrats said they wanted it to be 2,000, that's not going to happen. And it was tied to a bill to do some things with regarding the Internet and so forth. So it's not likely to change. But the IRS did say, if, in fact, there is a larger amount of stimulus passed, they will, quote, top up money that's already paid out at $600. But it looks to me 99% sure that it's just going to be $600.
Yeah. That does answer a question I had, though, and that is, all right, but if I've got $600 and they say $2,000, then are they going to give me $1,400 or will I get $2,600?
Yeah, they'll add more money if they've already paid you your $600. But Mitch McConnell is not going to let that go through. It's just complex politically, but I'm telling you that we will all be shocked beyond shocked if it gets increased.
Well, it's not complex politically. It's a guy named Mitch McConnell does not want it to happen. It's the will of one person. And if we cede that much power to anybody, it should be the president. He's the chief executive. The guy that's in charge of the Senate has singularly decided that millions of you will not get $2,000. And I'm sorry, I think that this may not sound like an agnostic statement, but I believe it is. I think that's too much power to give to one person who is not the elected president. The Senate chief should not have that much power.
All right. Well, let's talk about this. First of all, he has the power to keep the bill from coming to the floor. And there have been a couple of articles that said that given the Democrats would support it in the Senate, there are enough Republicans who had indicated that they would support 2,000 that the bill might have passed in the Senate. So his power is to keep the bill, given the arcane rules of Robert's Rules of Order, et cetera, to keep the bill from coming to a vote unless some things are attached to it that Democrats can't stomach. So that's the civics lesson here. That's the way the political thing works in America, you know, that there are maneuvers to keep. Look at a lot of bills that were passed by the Democrats in the House and never got a hearing in the Senate.
Okay.
Same kind of a thing.
Well, hooray, you got $600.
Each vote is so important.
So fine, then take your seat, you know, but I don't get to vote for Mitch McConnell, you know, and frankly.
Guess what? The Republicans had a very close election in Kentucky this year. A former U.S. Air Force pilot, a woman who of great repute, came very close to defeating Mitch McConnell, just in the facts of the election. But the people of Kentucky voted for Mitch McConnell. And so your argument really is with those voters there who elected him, and they probably liked having their state represented by such a powerful person. Like we used to like it when Dan Rostenkowski, when the House Ways and Means Committee and brought everything back to Illinois. You know, so that's how politics works.
Well, I don't like how they work, and I am also
welcome to the club.
Well, and I know this is naive. I guess it's even wrong, but I think what you elect a senator and a member of the House of Representatives to do is to vote your will. So, hey, Mr. Speaker of the Senate, Mr. Mitch McConnell, I wonder what the people of the United States want their senators to do. Oh, I know. Let's find out. Let's put the bill up and let's see what the senators vote. And if they vote for it, great. And if they vote against it, perhaps that's the will of the people of their state. And if they vote against the will of the people of their state, then they'll pay the consequence the next time they run for election. That's pretty simple to me. I don't see why that doesn't work. That sounds like a pretty good plan.
I don't know why
I'm yelling at you, but I'm now yelling at you.
Well, you're going to be elected to teach civics 101. You know, what happens is people close their minds, and then not enough people give thought to the kinds of things you just said about how government's supposed to work. Maybe we don't teach that enough in school. You know?
All right, let's pause. That has nothing to do with people's pocketbooks. That's just me taking too much time. So let's pause here. Terry Savage is on a phone line, and you may have a question about your $600 or your unemployment benefits or how to invest some money. Maybe you've got a year-end tax-type question. Terry Savage, terrysavage.com's her website, is on the line. My phone number is 312-981-7200, and this is WGN. It's 1221 on WGN. John Williams here with Terry Savage. TerrySavage.com is her website. All our phone lines are ringing. Terry, do you want to take some calls?
Yeah, let me do two quick things, updates. First of all, let's talk about this stock market for a second. The Dow is just, you know, yesterday made new high during the day, closed a little bit lower, punching up against those highs. The Dow is up now a little over 6%. For the year. I mean, when you think about this, think about what we went through all summer and the decline and everything. Dow is up a little over 6%. The S&P 500 up a little over 15%. The NASDAQ up 43%, reflecting, you know, a lot of tech stocks and the Zooms of the world, et cetera, traded on NASDAQ. So it's been kind of an incredible year in hindsight. And, you know, every year in January, the pundits forecast, well, the Dow will be up X percent or down percent. But this year, I mean, it was up and down both those percentages. It's really pretty amazing. The second thing, I want to update something that was discussed, I know, on our air last week that we didn't get around to. And I just got a note from IDES, Illinois Housing Development Authority, which was giving out both the rental assistance and the mortgage assistance programs. And here is the update. Terry, all residents who applied and were approved for either rental or mortgage assistance due to a COVID-19 related issue have already been notified. In 2020, we received more than 78,000 applications for rental assistance and about 18,000 applications for mortgage assistance. To date, we've approved more than $225 million in emergency rental assistance, over $98 million in emergency mortgage funding that goes directly to the mortgage companies, or the rental assistance that goes directly to the landlords. And a question was raised because IDA, Illinois Housing Development Authority, did send out an email when they first started sending out checks 2 weeks ago to landlords. Some landlords, due to a programming error, received double payment. And that letter requesting landlords please give that money back was legitimate. And they've contacted all of them now, they say, so there's no
issue.
And
I think that looked like a scam to some people.
Some people thought that was a scam. Why are they sending me money? They really did make a computer programming error. They hope, they say, to get more money in 2021 for Illinois residents. And so they will share details of any new programs in the coming weeks and months. That's a quote. So that's the update on that IDA program that helps so many people with rent and with mortgage assistance. And I know a number of people contacted me that applied and didn't get it. They were really overwhelmed, but it's everybody who's going to get it on the first round has been notified.
TerrySavage.com. Okay, let's pick up some phone lines. Right. I think I can punch up Kelly on line one. Kelly, are you there? You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, I am here.
What can we do for you?
So, for for the first round of stimulus checks, my mom did not receive it because someone else stated that they could claim her as a dependent. So they told me I had to wait till next year to then file a tax return. I want to know how I do that for her because she normally does not file.
But does she get Social Security some income?
She does.
Okay, great. In 2020. And those forms are not out yet, but they'll be out in about 6 weeks. And the 2020 income tax forms, this is really great news, okay? The 2020 income tax forms will include a line that says, based on your 2020 situation, where nobody's going to claim you as a dependent anymore for sure, this is a return we'll do in a few weeks, you are independent and you never, and you're qualified with income based under $75,000 for a single or $150,000 for a joint. Even if you don't owe any income taxes, even if you had just very low income, even if you had no income and you file a return, you're entitled to a refundable tax credit in the amount of the first stimulus. And by the way, if they had some, for some reason you were overlooked, because you probably will be on the second $600, she can file for not only the $1,200, but the additional $600 on that return. And that's a refundable tax credit, which means they send you money. It's not a credit against other future taxes. It's money that will get sent to her. So do not declare as a dependent. Have her file a 2020 tax return. There'll be a line. Believe me, we'll be talking about this every single week in the spring about how to do it. But she'll get the money.
Okay. And I also want to say thank you. Someone applied for unemployment insurance under my name, and I used your homepage on the web to file all the appropriate paperwork because I am not unemployed and I did not apply.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing, and it's growing.
Kelly,
and I got
so
the
nice
debit card,
call.
Too,
oh,
where
wow.
I could go ahead and...
Wow. All right, Kelly.
All right. Now watch for a 1099 in January. You're going to have to fight them off.
Let's go to Dan on line two. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, I think you just answered my question. Regarding the $600 stimulus payment, I didn't qualify because of last year's income, but I will qualify based on 2020 income. So when I file my tax return, based on what you indicated, I will get a $600 credit.
Not only will you get the $600, did you get the original one, the $1,200?
Yeah, I got the $1,200.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, because they changed the income limits from the first stimulus payment to the second. So I did qualify for the first, not a full amount, but a lesser amount. So you're saying I will get an additional amount if I did not qualify for the full
$1,200? If you only got a partial payment on your $1,200, because for every $100 of an income above the limits, it deducted $5 from your stimulus payment, it's going to be an interesting calculation. We haven't seen the forms yet. You may get topped up for the original stimulus payment.
Oh, great. Merry Christmas.
But it's going to cost you so much in accounts fees, unless TurboTax figures that for you. And I have a feeling TurboTax will call me and say, here's the story, everything you possibly need to know about filing to get the stimulus, and we'll see whether you can get topped up from the first stimulus.
Good luck, Dan. That's an interesting call. Do you like those sorts of software programs for taxes, Terry?
You know, I've become a great fan of TurboTax over the years because they understand people like me who hate taxes. This is a very, you know, how many years I've been reporting on financial things, 35 years now. And every year, and some years I used to have to do a series called Five Important Things to Know About Your Taxes. That was before TurboTax. And, you know, I dreaded those stories every spring when I was on the air every day. And I dread tax stories and doing taxes. The TurboTax people laugh when they call me in January and I say, okay, what are we going to do? But I've come to respect that they anticipate ordinary people. It's not just for tax pros or tax geniuses or young people that really get everything technology-wise. TurboTax has created programs that you really not only can do yourself, but they have live help for you. I mean, you can literally be on the phone doing it. So everybody's going to file online. Now, we all know what a mess it is to send paper filings to the IRS. Those were the people, many of them have still not had their refunds paid out because their return landed in March when everybody went home from the IRS offices. I still get people saying that. So we'll all file online this year, so you might as well do them online, and I'll be doing stories about it again.
We'll talk about it here. We got time maybe for one more call before a break at the bottom of the hour. Terry will join us after WGN Radio News, but let's see if we can help Patty in first. Go ahead, Patty. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. Good afternoon. Hi. Yeah, my question was, okay, let's. I know a lot of people that already got their $600 check. Now, if the other one comes through, the $2,000, will they deduct the $600 from the $2,000?
Stop for 1 second. I have a real important question to ask you. Do you really know people that looked in their bank accounts this morning and found $600 there?
I know people that already got it. Yeah, a couple of my friends got it already.
In their bank account?
I didn't get it.
Okay, yay for the Treasury. And if there's additional, if it did go up to $2,000, which it won't, they will top that up with another deposit of $1,400. Yeah. But don't hold your breath.
Don't hold your breath, because we'd hate to lose you as a listener. All right, thanks. And you will. Stay right there, Terry Savage. Patty, thanks for the phone call. TerrySavage.com is her website. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. You are listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is WGN Radio. I'm John Williams. We appreciate you dialing in. Terry Savage is with us till the top of the hour. Let's tackle more questions, Terry. You ready to take more calls?
Ready to go.
Okay, I think Kyle is next. You're on WGN, or Kel. Kyle, you're on the air. How are you?
Hi, John. The name is Kel, and I would like to say you have the best well-rounded show on Chicago radio, and Terry, you are simply magnificent.
How about that? Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, and I agree about John, that's for sure.
What I'd like to know, Terry, is those on public aid that don't work, never worked, living off the backs of the working taxpayer, are they getting stimulus checks?
Okay. Well, I'm going to object to your premise. Because you never know when something could happen to you or a member of your family, especially in these days, when you have no income. In fact, there are a lot of people out there who have no income right now, who are unemployed. We know 12 million of them. We think about all the people, well, all the restaurants are closed and everything. So I'm not going to cast aspersions on those who may not have chosen to work in the past, but who through current events certainly are unable to work, and who knows what health problems will come. But the answer, so I wanted to set up, I mean, I just had to recoil a little bit at Kel, the way you asked the question. I understand that you're paying taxes as I am, and we'd like them to go for important things. But in this day and age, the most important thing, I think, is putting food on people's tables. And yes, those people will get the credit. It's called, the way the tax law was written for this CARES Act, and will apply to this, it's a refundable tax credit, which, like the earned income tax credit and other programs like it, puts money back into the hands of people who may not have filed a tax return, may not have earned enough to be required to file, may not have worked at all. They'll get a stimulus, too.
I'm sorry to hear that, but thanks for your answer.
Thanks for the phone call. Okay. Wow. Let's go from there to Mark. You're on WGN. Mark, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, John. Last time, if you made between $75,000 and $99,000, you got some percentage of the $1,200. Is that the case this time, that you'll still get some percentage of the $600?
Right. For every $100 above that income level when you file your 2020 return, and let's presume your 2020 income will be lower than it was in 2019. Otherwise, they'll base it on 2019. But when you file every $100 you earn reduces your credit, your check, your stimulus check, your refundable credit by $5. So it's a little bit above $87,000 that it phases out completely.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks for the phone call. That's a good question. I hadn't thought about that. I just say, well, at least you get $600, but it's prorated after 75.
Above it, right, exactly. I don't have the exact specific numbers.
Heaven forbid somebody get $600 who's made $76,000. Okay, let's go to Mary. You're on WGN Radio. Go ahead, Mary. You're on the air.
Good morning or afternoon.
Yeah.
I am retired, and my husband is retired. We received what I believe to be a debit card and a letter of award in someone else's name, but our address. So the first one looks like it came announcing that it was going to be. The next one that came, I can feel the card in. I was putting them in the mailbox today just to return to sender, when I received a third one, and it is from the integrity unit of the IDES. What do I do? Are we at risk, or is the person whose name on here at risk and my address is used?
Yeah, this is... First, let me say, I thought we were over this mostly in the spring when that rash of debit cards were sent out from KeyBank. It strikes me, as I'm such a clearinghouse for people worried, that we're having another upsurge and that somehow they are co-opting. I'm not blaming IDES, but a lot of this has IDES information on it. So I expect the FBI will be out in the new year with some comments on this. Now, it doesn't have your name, and unless you open that third letter, you won't know if it uses your Social Security number. It's just got your address. So here's what I would suggest you do is open that letter that purports to be from IDES. Don't contact anybody. But
yes.
The third one.
All right.
And
all right,
see
we're
if
doing
it's got
it right
your
now.
Social Security number on it. I have two ways of dealing with these things. There's the full-fledged fix your identity, protect your identity. You go to terrysavage.com, and on the right-hand side, it says identity theft, do this. There's a link there. You can print out that article, and it's got links to freeze your credit, to report to the FBI, to report to the Federal Trade Commission, to report to Social Security. So if your name and Social Security number are used, you have to do everything on the list, okay? If your Social Security number wasn't used, just your address, I would still advise freezing your credit and use the links just to freeze your credit and review to make sure there are no inquiries from banks that use your name and Social Security number.
Good, good. But
I did that yesterday. I went to your website and checked that. We just opened the third one that came today was from the Integrity Unit, and it is Request for Identity Verification. So there is no Social Security number on it.
No, that's part of the next round of scams. I think the FBI would be really interested in this one. I've been talking to them. they don't talk to me, but I've been talking to them, telling them what everybody's telling me.
Yeah.
I think this is the second round. And notice, mostly this goes to seniors. I would say that of all the people that contact me, 80% are seniors who say, I can tell because they say I've been retired for years, I've da-da-da-da-da. They're targeting seniors who may not know what to do and might respond to these things. So don't verify anything. Hang on to that stuff and do freeze your credit just in case. Everybody might as well freeze their credit report at all three bureaus now.
Okay, Mary, good luck. I sure hope the FBI says something sometime about the status of their investigations into this. I don't recall them hosting a press conference to say, here's where we are or here's the hope we have. Do you think that they're ever going to do something like that?
I try and stay in touch, and I'm pretty well sure that not only are they actively investigating this, and I don't know what angle, but that we should be hearing from them in the new year. This has been, it's not just Illinois, but there's been a huge swath of it in Illinois, and so that's going to be, I think, the combination of everybody whose identity was stolen and didn't know it suddenly receiving a 1099 saying, hey, we have your Social Security number at Social Security at the IRS. We matched that with your address that you always use. And now here's your 1099 for like $14,812 of unemployment benefits. That's going to be a shock, not maybe to people like Mary, but to people who had no idea that their Social Security number was used.
Yeah.
So I suspect we're going to be really busy in January when those 1099s come out, and I'm sure that the government's actively involved in this.
Okay, all busy phone lines for Terry Savage. We'll pick it up here in just a minute. The number's 312-981-7200. If you get a busy signal, wait for someone to hang up and dive in. We'll try and get to your calls. 312-981-7200 on WGN Radio. You're listening to the... Wintrust Business Lunch, and Steve Ruxton has a Business Minute.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. It could be a strong winter for the Chicago housing market. The National Association of Realtors says contract signings are over 16% ahead of where they were last year. Sticking with real estate, Crane Chicago Business says mid-century modern homes were big sellers this year in the suburbs. Buyers reportedly liked the low-slung look, open layouts, and tall windows. Pot is big business in Illinois. The Chicago Tribune says 80 recreational cannabis dispensaries have opened in the state, and business is on pace to top $1 billion in 2020. That includes medical marijuana sales. The industry could get a lot bigger in the new year in 2021, with more municipalities welcoming weed retailers and 30 dispensaries yet to open under the state's initial legislation. I'm Steve Ruxton, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
It's 12:51. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Okay, back to your calls now. 312-981-7200. Financial columnist Terry Savage is on a phone line. Her website is terrysavage.com. She frequently refers to help links there. Keep that in mind if we don't answer your question here. And Terry, I want to pick up with Linda, because we haven't talked specifically about PPP, I don't think. And Linda had a question about that. Go ahead, Linda. You're on the air.
Hi, Terry. My husband and I applied and received a PPP loan. We followed all the rules to the letter, and now we're ready to apply for forgiveness. And my question to you is, when will the one-page form be available to apply for forgiveness?
I'm going to have to ask that question of someone, and I don't know if that would be at the IRS or the Treasury Department, so I don't know. But one of the interesting things was included in this bill, it used to be, this is so complex, but they said you could not, if you use the money to pay salaries, you could not deduct the salaries as a business expense. But as part of this new program, the second round, you will be able to deduct that original PPP loan, the payment, the money you used to pay, as a business expense. So you got the money, you ask for forgiveness, and you get to deduct the payments you made to employees as a business expense. So I don't know exactly when, but you know who will know? The bank where you got the PPP loan. I'll probably call Wintrust. They were the biggest lender and the most organized, and ask them. But I don't know that we'll have that information just yet.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You bet, Linda. Yes. Good question. And maybe we'll revisit that next week. I'll make a note of that. Let's talk to Kathy next. You're on WGN on line 4. Hi, Kathy. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi. Thank you. Terry, I don't buy stocks. I'm a senior. I take care of my money. But I thought I was really slick this time, and I bought some Pfizer stock probably 2 months ago thinking, woohoo, I'm going to make some money. And it hasn't budged.
Do you think you knew something that nobody else knew 2 months ago?
Yeah. But
what did you know that everybody else didn't know?
Well, now, wait a minute. I think she doesn't sound that dumb to me. It would seem to me like Pfizer, when the vaccine was coming out, would have been a good train to get on. What's so bad about that idea, Terry?
Do you remember how the many times we've said, I'm just going to push up the chart of Pfizer here right now, but do you remember the many times we said the market anticipates?
Yes.
The market looks ahead?
Yes.
Well, in fact, that's all that news, all that anticipation that they were going to be successful with the vaccine was already priced into the stock. So hold on, let me take a look at the chart here. So first of all, it's a great company. They're going to make money. There's no reason that you can't hang on to it, but if you thought the stock was going to double overnight, I don't think that was already in the cards. I'm sitting here looking.
When did you buy the stock?
It hit its high.
Yeah.
It hit its high of 42.56.
And it's at 37.02. Why would it go down? I mean, aren't they buying more?
There's an old adage in the stock market: sell on the good news.
Oh.
The stock was way down to, well, let me just see if I can make this chart go down here. The stock was way down at, 6 months ago, it was way down at half this price, okay? In this year, the high and the low just in the last 12 months, let me look this up.
Yeah.
The fact is, this stock, all the news was in it. All the professional fund managers were in it. They knew what was happening.
Yeah, right. Well, then what we should have done was bought Pfizer before the news came out that the vaccine was imminent. So my next question is, who's the next tech or medical company that's going to pop with good news, Terry?
Well, you're going to get some of these hot Wall Street analysts on the line who think they know ahead of time, and a lot of them do. They spend a lot of money researching and dealing with companies that are either making, you know, there's probably a company that somebody's already figured out this, I'm sure, but that's making the syringes, or the companies that are making the refrigerated units are in the ice cream business. Those stories are out there. You have to be way, way, way ahead of the street to make a lot of money, or you have to be willing to take a lot of risk. Tesla was seen as a very risky stock. Look what's happened to it. It's been a fortune builder. But Amazon was seen as a very risky investment 15 years ago. You know, so you pay your money and you take your chances.
Okay, there's the answer. Thanks for the call. Let's do maybe one more here. John, you're on WGN. How can we help you, John? You're on the air.
Hi, Terry and John. Terry, my mother had received a stimulus check for $600 in the first round. She passed away in June, and I had read in the Wall Street Journal that she still would be eligible for the second round. Is that correct?
If you were it right now, there's a big article up on CNBC about this. Right now, it looks, first of all, the people, you know, remember the IRS sent out checks that they knew were made to the deceased on the first round.
Yeah, sure.
And then they asked for them back. And I had told people, just hang on there because there's some doubt about the legality of it. You don't know really where to get send it back. Well, right now, it looks like the IRS, it looks like it, has given in and is not going to sue people to get the original $1,200 back. And so this time around, they were very careful to write the stimulus bill so they say that they will likely not send out checks to people who are deceased. And we'll see what happens. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
That's one of those tricky things.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope that helps. And there's a lot of, I guess, wait and see in all of this. But we will wait
one
and see
point.
Together. Yes. I
Before
got 30.
We go, one quickie.
Go.
John. We haven't talked about unemployment. People who are on PUA, the self-employed unemployment, have missed a week's unemployment because of the delay in signing this bill. They won't get that back. Theoretically, the IDES, Illinois Unemployment, you know, will just automatically send you your next PUA check. You'll have missed a week, but it will add $300. People who were running out of unemployment benefits last week may miss a week also. But everybody who's continually on unemployment, whether the traditional or the PUA, will get their next check. Supposedly, again, we're dealing with IDES, mm-hmm. with an extra $300, and that will run through March 14th, and you're not supposed to have to do anything about it. But in terms of certification, this is going to be another IDES nightmare for those on PUA. I advise you don't get messed up in it. Just cross your fingers and hope that though they skip 1 week, they will make it up. They won't make it up with the lost week, but they will resume, I should say, the following week plus $300.
TerrySavage.com on the Wintrust Business Lunch on Wednesdays. Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, John.
WGN Radio News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up. Afterwards, Matt Bubala's in and Senator Dick Durbin is on with Matt. You got questions about what happened in the Congress this week? Answers coming up with Matt next on WGN.